Hello and welcome to Melopod from the team behind Not Often Heard, where we take an in-depth look at Melodifestivalen, Sweden's contest to pick their entry for Eurovision. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
Guys, it's the end of the season. I'm kind of sad now. It's almost, it's over. It's done. That's it.
Again,
until next year.
Oh gosh. All the build up and then it's done in a few short weeks.
Oh,
it's a bit like Christmas, it's a bit like Boxing Day.
Yeah, that's it. All that build up and then just like that, it's gone.
Over and done with. I know. And they were super efficient. It was done within 2 hours. Everything done, dusted, performances, scores, tension, winner.
Exactly.
All in 2 hours.
I'm looking at you, Portugal and Italy. You can do better. Okay, so we are going to take a look at the grand finale of Melodifestivalen. This week, presenting alongside Christa Björkman, was Måns Zelmerlöw and Shima Niafarani. Another duo and a familiar face.
The ubiquitous Måns.
He's back. Back, back, back.
Did he ever go away?
Well. The thing is, unlike Loreen, who's also a winner, obviously, Måns seems really happy to throw himself back into all of the Eurovision circus, as it is, every year. And he really enjoys presenting. He's presented, you know, UK national finals before. He's obviously done his turn at Melodifestivalen as well. And he's always happy to pop up here and there, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he is.
I may be mellowing to him slightly.
Oh,
I know.
Bless.
I know.
You're soft in your old age, Gary.
Something new for this year as well was SVT providing an English language commentary for the broadcast, which is separate from the regular broadcast, which was very interesting and something that had kind of been floating around for ages in the sense that fans were like, oh, we'd love it if we could understand fully what was happening between the songs and get all the jokes and stuff. So it was something that was on a lot of people's wish list, and this year they provided it to us. And I did when you two watched it, did you actually watch with the English language commentary?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate them doing it. It was a great gesture, and it was kind of like it was them making Melfest truly international and opening it up for the world to see.
Yes.
Which you mentioned, Mark, was kind of on theme, wasn't it, with this year's Eurovision slogan?
Yeah, that's what their brand is, open up, isn't it? You know, Europe and music is open to everybody. Regardless of backgrounds, and I think that was the key to it. And the commentary just felt like that. It was a way of opening up Melfest to the rest of the world, because they do have global followers. I think it's massive amongst Eurovision fans, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's been building the last few years. If there was one tiny little criticism, and believe me, this is not a biggie, because I'm very grateful that they did this. They did not have to provide this stream at all. It was the audio quality of that commentary.
It's like they were on a landline from the 1980s, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, we do this pod remotely, and yes, we get glitches occasionally, but generally the quality of the connection is quite good. And it felt like the quality we have here is probably slightly better than what they had. But I believe at least one of the commentary team was in London. So you've got a commentary stream coming from London into Stockholm and then having to go back out again. And
right.
you know, you'd think SVT could provide a little studio somewhere, a little commentary booth that the two of them could sit in. A radio station with a link. And that's all I'm saying is this might have been a last minute, how can we do this with zero money kind of thing to give the fans a little bit of extra. And I'm very grateful for that. And maybe off the back of that, they'll say next year, okay, let's do this a bit more officially and we'll actually put a proper broadcast quality link in for it rather than... Somebody described it as a Teams call at work that we were listening in on.
A Teams call at work is usually better quality, though, to be fair. but yeah, I thought it was a really good way of, as you say, opening up.
It was. So we kick off, and straight away I'm missing the crowd a little bit, to be honest. Because the final is just a massive arena. You've got people waving balloons, wearing pink cowboy hats and feather boas, and it's like Hen Night in Blackpool styling.
It really is.
It's wonderful, this brilliant circus of a show. And obviously we understand why it couldn't happen that way this year. It was just a little sad that it didn't. We couldn't have that. But hey, next year, bigger, better. We shall wait and see. So,
absolutely,
we are going to rattle through the songs. I can't promise we'll have anything particularly new to say about them, because for some of them, this is the third time we're looking at them in this pod. So, song number one was Danny Saucedo, Dandy Dancer. So, is this one improved for you, or you still feel the same as when you saw it back in semi one?
I think what I found is I thought it took a while for his vocals to warm up, I thought, on the final last night.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a bit breathy. Maybe the nerves were jangling, understandably, going first in the final. But the one thing that I said, and I think we mentioned this earlier off-air, Gary, is that I could not remember his backing dancers, their clothes popping off near the end. And I don't mean they were stalkers, but it's kind of like their outfits popped off and they were wearing like really colourful clothes underneath. And I don't remember that from the semi-final. Mm. It's really strange how I don't remember that. And I was like, oh, that's new. But it turns out it wasn't.
You do forget.
I think you do pick things up. You do pick things up that you didn't necessarily notice the first time.
That is true. I mean, Alex, how was it for you?
Yeah, pretty much the same. You know, I still enjoyed it. I thought it was a really catchy song. And like Mark said, I didn't notice first time round exactly whether, you know, they'd had the tearaway reveal with the clothes. But no, I still enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. In terms of changes, because yet again I have been very sad and I've done playback of its semi-performance versus its finale side by side, so I can try and notice. Generally, the lighting has actually been turned down slightly. It's not quite so bright, particularly a couple of spotlights in the middle that were kind of giving a yellow glow to the cardboard boxes early on. They got turned off for some reason, so it felt a little bit darker. And the only other really big change that I could spot was just near the end, before the last chorus kicks in, there was a rather pathetic bang, like somebody had set a party popper off that wasn't present in the semi performance. It just went.
Didn't even pick up on that.
And I was a bit like, I heard that and I was like, I'm sure I would have remembered that. But the fact that it was just a bang, there was no like pyro flash or anything like that. It was just like somebody just gone, as I said, a party popper. It felt a bit odd. It just looked a bit pathetic because there was no visual element to it.
Was that? I mean, because obviously we've got a plane in the background. Was that? There was like some puffs of smoke in the back of the stage. I wonder if that was. But it wasn't at the same time that they tore their clothes off, was it?
It might have been. I suspect it was.
It was like a pop.
Maybe.
Yeah, but that wasn't present for the semi performance.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what made it kind of like stand out and seem a bit different to me. Mm. But I enjoyed the song. It's catchy. It's happy.
Mm.
Sort of thing. It's a bit schlagery.
Moving on to song number two, Clara Hammarström, Beat of Broken Hearts. She's a second chance qualifier. So this is the third time we're watching her. This one continues to grow for me. I like it more and more every time I hear it.
Oh, yeah, I'm the same. Like, if I feel that it definitely gets better for me each time I hear it, especially when you get to that key change. That key change is phenomenal.
the key change is superb. It's so good. She belts it out. Yeah, I think you're right. Hearing this on the semi and then second chance and then for a third time last night, really, really good. Really grown on me. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those ones I think that fans will like. Maybe gets a decent sort of charting on Spotify, but it was never really a serious contender for the win, I don't think.
No, I still hate that outfit as well.
That kind of it's Cyberwoman, isn't it? So maybe she's a Torchwood fan. Like
Barbarella sort of high fashion, high camp sci-fi.
Odd. In terms of staging, the only change that I could notice from the second chance performance to last night's finale was they whipped away the platform she was standing on at some point. She'd stepped off it and was kind of finishing off the song, and you see a long shot and whew, the platform's gone. So that I guess, you know, in the space of a week, really, is there much else you can do? Okay, so that's song number two, and we're going to move on to song number three, Anton Ewald's New Religion.
You said earlier that this had grown on you, didn't you?
Yes, it's another one. It's one that when I first heard it, I kind of wrote it off slightly as generic male solo artist pop. Ten a penny, we've got loads of them. Yeah. Nothing unique here, but it's an earworm. It just gets into your brain and you hum it and you're singing it to yourself. So it was definitely one of those things that goes on. It's going to go on my playlist rotation, I think.
I like the beat of it. I think it goes along quite nicely, and it's quite catchy. And he's a great dancer as well. Really good dancer. Good one.
Yep. Alex, what did you think?
I totally agree with what you guys said. I really enjoyed it. I thought the dancing was really good. I thought it was a generally good performance all around.
In terms of technical changes, very little. Apart from more blue has been added with and some smoke effect put in. So whereas before you were seeing more kind of just laser beams shooting out, they've added more smoke. And you can see, we're looking at the performance now, and you can see that kind of blue smoky backdrop. That's new. That wasn't present. It was more blackness with pure beams previously. And honestly, I couldn't remember there being that many lasers, but there was. In fact, he's put more in since then. On then to song number four. Which is the Mamas, the middle. So last year's champions returned to defend their title. Quickly, in terms of change, they don't go for the costume fake out. I realised that they didn't do that. So maybe it was a case of them going, that gag's been done. Everybody knows what we're going to do, so there's no point in doing it.
Yeah.
So immediately,
I mean, it was good. It was good, but it wasn't. I think Move was definitely the better song out of the two.
I think I would agree. Move is slightly edging it ahead. I mean, this is a good song, solidly performed. They can sing the hell out of it. You can't fault their voices. Yeah. They're amazing.
No.
On that.
I love the sisterhood they have with each other. You can tell that they adore being with each other. There's a real chemistry.
And considering that, I believe they were kind of put together as the backing for John Lundvik 2 years ago. So it wasn't like they came together necessarily out of choice to form an act. It was a case of them being put together to support another act. And they've then kind of carried on, and it's nice to see their rise in popularity. And they seem to genuinely enjoy performing together, and that really comes across.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lovely group.
In terms of technical changes, it's slightly darker, especially in the second verse. They've turned a lot of the background and the floor lighting off. And so you've got a darker scene. And in general, there's less blue light in there, and they've upped the pinks. The background in particular, you're seeing lots of pinks swirling around.
Yeah, there was
a lot more. There was like a blue haze as well in the original as well. And that's all been turned off for some reason. Maybe they just decided to, you know, just ramp up the pinks and purples.
Yeah.
But so overall, it's a slightly darker performance, lighting-wise.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's interesting, these little tweaks that they do on it.
I'm sure there must be some sort of technical reason, like performance reason for it. Like, we'll make the viewers think this, and it'll make them imagine that.
Exactly, yeah. And then we transition, we're seeing them hit the bridge and go into the final chorus. It's all gone gold. And so the colour change, the colour scheme is completely switched to reflect the outfits. And in fact, Christer Björkman, and I probably will refer to this several times, he did a live stream on Friday on YouTube answering fans' questions. Some very interesting details came out, including that he says we do agonise shot by shot over some things and tweaking, and we can spend hours on the minutest of details, but it's because we care so much and we want to make everything right for people. So I have no doubt that they went through that, back through the performance from the front and the semi, and picked it apart shot by shot and thought, does that work lighting wise, position wise? Can we change it to improve things? On then to song number five, which is Paul Ray, Missing Piece.
I hope he managed to find his missing peas at some point. I find him missing peas would probably be more interesting than this song.
Food shortages in Stockholm still. Well, I suppose one of the benefits of the English language commentary is that we now get to find out the true meaning behind that song, and it's all about his daughter and how, you know, he's had a baby girl and she was the missing piece of his life.
Yeah.
So that brings a new meaning to the song, I think.
Yeah, the sentiment is fine. I just find the song itself is all right. You know, I think I'm exaggerating and over-egging the pudding slightly in my dislike of it. Mm. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with it, I don't think. It's just not that good compared to some of the others. And yeah, with the standard you've got, that's always going to happen.
True. In terms of technical changes, very little. I can't really find anything that's different from the Second Chance performance from last week. So stick with what you know.
Yeah, one of the things that I had seen, I don't know if I was just paying a bit more attention last night or what, but because like, it seemed to me that last night in his performance, all the bits of his staging all came together a lot more, I don't know, a lot more smoothly, because it was like a jigsaw, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the bits of his staging all come together at the end, obviously the missing piece. And I didn't really get that before, but I really got it last night. Mm. I don't know why.
He had...
Just, like I say, was I paying more attention?
Maybe. He tweaked it for Second Chance, and we were starting to get more of that, and seeing the pieces actually move, as opposed to suddenly, whoa, he's jumped on somewhere, and suddenly it looks like this, and it's all kind of moved behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So compared to Second Chance, yes, it does appear that he kept pretty much the same staging and, like you said, put more shots of the pieces actually moving together to reinforce that message.
Cool.
Halfway through then, song number six brings us to La Parelli, Charlotte Schlager Queen, with Still Young. Oh. There are no words. No words. She's just brilliant. It is Schlager by numbers. and it's what the fans want, and she absolutely delivered. I can't fault her for that. Are you either of you two that enthusiastic?
I think it might be what the fans want. I'm not sure it's what the rest of Europe particularly wants, because she didn't do that well votes wise. She was, you know, mid-table sort of thing. So it wasn't a complete disaster.
She was...
Eighth out of 12.
Yeah.
On that table, isn't she?
Yes, you're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So, yes, so, that's with the international jury. So, yeah, that gives you a guideline. Yeah. You're right. But in terms of old school Swedish schlager, that delivers on it. What did you think, Alex?
Oh, I loved it. It was definitely what I think a lot of us were expecting from Charlotte coming out of this competition. Because she's done some acts, as we all know, that have been hit and miss.
Yeah.
You know, we've had, you know, for every Take Me to Your Heaven, we've had other not so great ones.
Yeah, Meet Leave springs to mind.
Exactly.
Put the guitar down.
No, this is definitely what we were expecting and hoping from a Charlotte number.
Yeah, it's what we want. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And in terms of looking at her performance in the finale versus the semi, this was the one that was most difficult because I cannot spot anything really substantially different. No. It is a perfect replica. Almost. They've got it down to a T. It is flawless in terms of replicating the performance on that. But she's such a pro. So it does not surprise me that it's been rehearsed to within an inch of its life. And they know their stuff.
Absolutely. I like the backing dancers. I love their outfits. Very kind of like avant-garde. Very kind of, almost kind of like, really kind of like, mixing it up gender-wise with the kind of like what you would expect male and female to wear, which I love. I love that kind of like mixing it up. And the handography. Oh. I was living for the handography.
very Paris Fashion Week.
Yes.
And performance. Really good. Okay, let's move on to song number 7. So our winner of the night, Tusa, with Voices. Hey. What did you think of this one, Alex?
This was one of my favourites from like the whole Melfest, from the semis all the way into the finals. This was definitely one of the ones I really liked. I thought it was well performed. I thought the tune was really good. I thought it had a great message. I think we've said this a few times over the last 6 weeks, haven't we, Mark? That I think this song came at just the right time for the situation, not just in Europe, but what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah. I like the word zeitgeist.
Yes, that's been your favourite word.
It has.
Describe to...
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. For me, very good. I can't say the song was my favourite, but...
No, it wasn't mine either.
Very contemporary, very engaging performer, sung really well. Can't fault Tusa on that at all.
No.
Really good. And in terms of actual changes, technical-wise, overall it's more green or aqua. That's the colour scheme's been tweaked slightly.
Yeah.
And there's more use of the lights at the side. You can see the green lights flashing.
Yeah.
There wasn't as much of that as, and there was more white. So the colour scheme's been tweaked slightly for this performance.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then
But you know what they say? They do say red and green should never be seen.
Really?
Yes, red and, you should never put red and green colours together, apparently. So they say.
Let's move on to song number 8 then. Álvaro Estrella, Baila Baila, which is another second chancer.
I love this one. It's a guilty pleasure. It's one of those guilty pleasure songs. I am just living my best 1999 life. Listen to this song.
It's interesting in the sense that there's lots of lots of CSO chroma key green screen type work and lots of fringing, so it kind of looks a bit like a 70s Doctor Who, as we've said before, or a Word performance.
That lighting, I think the psychedelic colours, I found those very distracting. almost made me feel a bit queasy at one point.
You know,
it was the kind of like the geometric patterns that they had going around it. It was a little bit kind of like, yeah, a little bit like magic eye. Ooh, what's going on there? It's making my eyes go funny.
I was slightly distracted by his trousers as well. I'm like, they look like meat. That's the only word I can describe.
Oh my God, Gary.
I know what you mean. It's kind of like... Yeah,
that
marbled.
Kind of marbled meat.
Oh dear.
Very strange, but yeah. I don't really have much of a strong opinion on it.
Yeah. I've heard of like skirt steak, but like trouser beef, that's just ridiculous.
Trouser bacon? Oh dear. Moving on. Song number 9, Clara Klingenström, Don't Need You Today. So another second chance are carried forward. Hugely popular in Sweden.
Yeah, yeah. This one grew on me. Like, at the beginning, I really did not like it. I thought it was it felt kind of dull. I didn't think that it was being sold particularly well by the artist. But as he sort of progressed further along into second chance and then into the finals, you know, there started to be a bit more enthusiasm.
Yeah, I think she gained in confidence every performance.
Yes. Yes, I think that's safe to say.
I mean, I feel for her because this is the third week in a row she's had to perform.
true. But I think, like you said, she grew in confidence. And it grew in popularity in Sweden, didn't it, if I'm right?
Yeah. Yeah, she's really gaining popularity over there. And I think she's an artist we'll see back. She'll make a return at some
point. Absolutely.
She also got better at playing the guitar at each performance.
Give it up. It's just a prop.
I know. If you're going to have it, at least pretend to play it.
On to song number 10, then. Eric Saada, Every Minute, another of the favourites.
If we must.
What did you think, Alex?
Not my favourite. Like... I feel like I've heard songs like that a million times over on the radio. I thought there was not much going on with the staging. We've said this a million times. I absolutely hated what he was wearing.
his white jumper and trousers.
His
combo.
His flipping cricket umpire look. No. Sorry, Eric. This was not your time. this wasn't the one.
I think for me, the song grew on me a little bit. But I think, just like you've said, Alex, it's a bit generic and kind of like, what is that dancing? It's just weird.
Yeah.
And I know it's supposed to be kind of like a little bit, I don't know, progressive and modern and interpretive maybe, but it just looked a bit strange.
A bit strange.
One thing I did like, the English commentary did state and tell us that the dance that came out in the black towards the end of the song is supposed to represent Eric Sada's alter ego, his dark side. And our friend who was watching it with us said, "Oh, I'm so glad they told us that. I'd have never got that."
Okay, yes, it was slightly obvious.
Yeah.
In terms of changes for this, not too many. He's had a haircut. I'm glad, you know. He does look slightly tidier. There is a slightly more lighting from the front for him, so he's not quite as much in the shadows as he was. And you know, when he slides across that white platform at one point, he slid on his knees last night, whereas he slid on his backside in the semi. And I don't know if you noticed on the reprise, he actually slid off. He fell off the platform in the reprise.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I had to go back and check, but he actually went whoosh, and fell off the platform. So maybe the change to sliding on his knees was designed to stop a repeat of that.
Yeah.
To his credit, he did not let him. He did not, you know, let him put himself off his performance. He didn't drop a beat.
No.
On that, also slightly different shot choices in some of them. They've changed some stuff that was close up is now wide shot and vice versa. So there has been little camera tweaks here and there for it. We're nearly there. On to song number 11 then, which is Daughter and Little Tot. Again, another hot favourite.
Like the song, it's okay. It's catchy enough. I'd never had it pegged as a favourite or one to win. I didn't think it was one to beat, to be perfectly honest.
Mm.
I thought it'd do well, and it did do relatively well. Yeah, good song. Didn't really stick out to me that much, really.
Yeah. Exactly. She looks a bit damp with the hair slicked back, but that's pretty much the same as it was in the semi-performance on that. I don't know if you noticed, but the dancers now have spotlights on their palms. That wasn't present in the original performance. So that's a tweak that's been added. Mm. And there has been a few lighting tweaks here and there just to switch things up a little. On that, so you can tell that they've worked on it a little bit over the last few weeks. But yeah, for me, another one of those songs that's like, yep, yeah, it's good, and it's one of those ones that will go on a playlist, and I will definitely not skip it if it comes up. But I didn't quite see the movement behind it that others did, and thought it was a dead cert for Eurovision and would go do really well and do the business.
No.
Okay, should we move on to the last song of the evening? Song number 12, Avingana.
Avingana.
So, good old dance band classic, really.
Good old boy band moment. I think we all can appreciate that song for some reason or another.
Yes.
There was something in it for everybody.
It really did. The beat at the start really did remind me even more of Tragedy from Steps this time round than even the first time.
Hmm.
Mm.
For me, it was very much it was a take that vibe, you know, 90s boy band coming back. It's old fashioned, but it provides a bit of balance in the finale. It's a good thing to throw into the mix. Never thought it was a serious contender for winning it.
No.
Swedish language songs do struggle, as we've said before, in this. And another interesting thing about Christer Björkman's live stream had said that if a Swedish language song were to win Melfest this year, he wouldn't make them translate it into English and sing it the English version at Eurovision. And he says, in the past, I have regretted that we have done that. For example, 2004 with Lena Philipsen, Deodorant was translated to "it hurts," and he says, "Looking back now, I regret doing that. We should have kept it in Swedish for the for Eurovision." So I didn't expect him to say that. I thought he would be like, "No, in order to improve our chances of winning, we have to go with English to attract a broader audience for this."
Mm.
In terms of technical changes, a few choreo changes here and there to place them a little bit more centre stage. There wasn't so much of hanging out at the sides with their beams of light too much. They also got rid of that. Their floor lighting was some pink stripes that was kind of going up and down the centre column. And that's all gone, just been replaced by mostly solid colours, unfortunately, which was disappointing.
Yeah.
So, that is it. That is our 12 finalists for Melfest 2021. After that, we move on to a little bit of self-indulgence, really, isn't it? Because Christer Björkman has been such a force behind Melfest for these last 20 years that they really wanted to send him off in style. And so he got his own musical routine, which was amazingly camp.
Oh, my God, that musical routine.
I almost expected him to be in arseless chaps, basically, with the outfit that he was wearing. You know, that glittery cap and the glittery kind of, like, coat that he was wearing. It was...
Have they ever gotten away with that?
It's Sweden. You can get away with loads of things in Sweden. They F and Jeff all the time and don't bat an eyelid, don't they?
Oh, yeah. There was an S word said in the opening 2 minutes of the show last night.
Shut up.
It was a good send-off for him. There was shades of La Dolce Vita from After Dark in there. So it felt a bit familiar. Very camp, as we said. Good send-off for him. He's off to bigger and better things. He's going over to the US to launch the American Song Contest, and he did say plans are still progressing and they're hoping that it's something that will be hitting screens sometime next year. So that'd be really nice to see. And also a little interesting thing he said on his live stream was somebody asked him, would he go and help the BBC if they asked him and help organise their national selection and for Eurovision? And he said, absolutely, yes. If you'd have asked me 10 years ago, I would have left Melfest 10 years ago to come and help you. But they haven't called.
Really?
And he says, if you call me now, I'll still help you. So his reasoning he says, well, I grew up watching Eurovision at a time when France, Luxembourg and the United Kingdom were dominating and were always either winning or coming second. They were charting highly. It was that music I liked. That's what I was growing up with and that's what I was hearing. And I want to be able to help them to get back into that kind of position if I can. So he said he'd love the challenge of doing that for the UK.
Yes. Oh, I think it'd probably take... I think it would be more than a one-off. He'd probably have to spend a good few years, I think, building it up.
That's the same.
I don't think it could be a one-off sort of thing.
It's the same way that they went with Melodifestivalen. Because if you think about it, they started this format in 2002, and it took time to build up the momentum. It became very popular domestically, and then started getting international attention. And it built to the point where we got winners.
Yeah.
So it was a long-term project. So he's going to need to commit. And unfortunately, I think the American Song Contest has stolen him now. So we're not going to get him, which is a shame.
No. Missed opportunity there, I think. Oh. In an alternative universe somewhere, the UK has been winning Eurovision these last 20 years.
Okay, moving on past that, we then get to the international juries being presented. This is something that has been added in recent years, where we have countries delivering points in the final that help make up the total and choose who's going. I think it's a good, I suppose it's a good way of gauging how Europe feels about your songs.
Yeah, it's very clever.
This year we had France, Albania, Iceland, Israel, United Kingdom, Switzerland, Cyprus, and the Netherlands as the international juries. All done on Zoom, by the looks of it, or something similar. And, yeah, you can't have a Zoom call without something going wrong, it seems. So.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, definitely not.
I felt sorry for the United Kingdom and Switzerland, whose audio didn't work.
Yeah.
Flipping earpods or AirPods or whatever
so
they are.
So appropriate.
It was a shame that it caused some disruption. Krista Ever the Pro was just like, it's fine, I'm just going to read them out myself then if you're not there.
Yeah.
So after the international jury has voted, we find that Tusa is up at number one with Voices. Eric Sada was at number two, Every Minute, and then Little Top from Dotter at three. So pretty much who we expected, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
On that.
Certainly.
I would say Clara Klingenström, Behöver Inte Dig Idag, at number five, did better than I thought it would. Mm. With the international juries, I thought it would be difficult for them to engage with the Swedish language song, and obviously I'm completely wrong.
You don't know what you're talking about, Gary, obviously.
Guess not. And they rattled along. As you said, this was a two-hour show and they crammed a lot in, because after the international juries, it then was the final push for the televote. Whilst that was happening, we retreated, in inverted commas...
To
Mons singing his new single. It's like, Mons, stop trying to steal the spotlight. It's a finalist night. Start going, hey guys, I know you heard some great music, but buy my single now on iTunes. I just think that is, it's not the right opportunity to be launching your new single. I know it's a huge audience and commercially it makes sense, but also it's like, Mons, stop raining on people's parade, snatching the limelight. Don't do it.
Oh dear.
And that was followed by probably the weirdest interpretation of the Mamas' move I have ever seen.
It
from
was
Shima.
A cross between a Bond theme version and a musical number from Chicago.
It really was.
It was so bizarre.
Yeah. It was unusual.
Anyway.
There must be some sort of rule about the previous winner's song not being able to be played in the same format if the previous winners are also competing this year as well. That's all I can think of. Because let's face it, we all just wanted to hear the original, really.
Yeah.
I think the fact that the Mamas were competing put the kibosh on all of that, really, wasn't it? Couldn't get a reprise.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would have had a nice reprise, but yeah. Perhaps in the interests of fairness, that didn't go ahead.
No.
I can understand that. So, the moment arrives. Tusa is picked as the winner, with quite a large margin, actually. He got 96 points out of the televote. Mm. And when you look at the raw voting figures, he got double what Eric Sada got in terms of actual votes.
Wow. Yeah.
There was 1.1 million people voted in Sweden, which is just over 10% of the population. So it's a significant number.
Yeah.
And they raised a lot of money for charity as well. Because every phone call you make, if you do it at the higher rate, a portion goes to charity. So they've raised a lot of money.
Mm.
I was surprised that Little Tot was not in second, though. Because there just seemed to be such huge momentum behind her. I thought she was going to bag second spot.
It was interesting, wasn't it? Because little Dotter and the Mamas replicated their scoring position from last year. There was 1 point separating them.
You're right.
Mamas above Dotter, but obviously instead of being first and second, they were third and fourth.
Oh.
In the end.
So, are we happy in general with the winner?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not my favourite on the night, but a good song.
Mm. Mm. To be honest, I thought it was a very strong final overall. One I've enjoyed perhaps a little more than the last couple, where it's been, I don't know, the percentage of songs I've liked has been greater than ones I didn't for the first time in a couple of years. So it's been a fantastic season, I think, despite all the challenges they've had and how different it's felt.
Yeah.
I thought they've done a fantastic job. SVT should be incredibly proud of themselves for what they've delivered under the circumstances.
Definitely.
And that is it. That is the end of an era. Christy Bjorkman, I guess, will probably hang around and go with the delegation to Rotterdam to support Tusa. But then after that, his job is done. And he moves on. And apparently he's left some... I don't know if it's instructions as such, but he's expressed a desire for Merlefest to evolve and be taken in a different direction by the new people. He's been very specific about saying, I think, essentially, don't just do what I did. You're a new pair of hands. You do what you want with it. And you deliver something different. Because we now need to move on to the next era. So we could find that Melfest looks very different next year. Don't know. It would be nice if it goes back to its format of touring the country, because I think that's a really lovely thing to do, that some towns get some spotlight.
Yeah.
And that the circus comes to town almost, that kind of thing. So that is it from us for this season of Melopod.
Oh, I don't want it to end.
Hopefully we should be back, especially around Eurovision time. You can expect a pod or two from us as we look at the runners and riders. And the events of a very different Eurovision. It's going to be quite unlike we've seen for the last few years. It's exciting. Okay, until next time. It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.